St. Augustine Pier. The attorneys can be reached at 461-3000. That's 461-3000. Or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
On 91.7 FM, we talk about God's good news.
You're listening to The Truth.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you jump on board, join in the dialogue and discussion that we have right here each and every day on Let's Face the Issues. Let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, God's truth book. Listen, as we talk about issues that are important, I believe we need to face the fact of some of the issues that are taking place today. Cumulatively, we're going to talk about two or three different ones, but all of them fit into the category that I'm going to call, Remember, God is Watching. Remember, God is Watching. I believe oftentimes we fail to recognize that what's happening on a national basis, what's happening on a local state basis, God is watching. It's not kept in secret. It's not done behind the scenes. It's not done in a closet. All that is being done today, politically, socially, economically, financially, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, it's being done under the scrutinizing eyes of God. And ladies and gentlemen, among other serious issues that we're going to talk about today, we're going to talk about a lead-in to our ultimate discussion. We'll talk about the Nancy Guthrie disappearance. Who's responsible? Why haven't they found something? Is it possible that it's a family member? Is it possible that someone already knows what is happening? Is it possible the FBI already know the details and they're waiting until they get further evidence for the prosecution? I don't know. We're going to talk about that as one of the lead-in things that we should be interested in. And as Christians, conservatives, and patriots, we need to recognize, understand, and be so grateful that we know that God is watching. We're not left to fend for ourselves as a nation, as a globe. We're not left to fend for ourselves as an individual. We can trust and depend upon the fact that God has this whole world in his hands. You know, there was an old song many years ago, he's got the whole world in his hand. He's got the whole wide world in his hand. Speaking about God, and I believe that is the case today, without any equivocation. But as we face the issues, let me remind you again that we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It's the truth book. John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus, speaking to his disciples, made this statement to his disciples: if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. Further in John 17:17, we find a verification and a validation of the truthfulness, trustworthiness of the Word of God. John 17:17, thy word is truth. Psalms 117:2, the Bible says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. That is a pretty lengthy period of time. You've heard me say before, someone asked on one occasion, how long is forever? Forever? How long is forever? Everlasting, unending, eternal. And that's the status of the Word of God. It's the truth book. However, we find the secularist George Orwell that made a profound statement that I believe deserves our recognition today. He said, and I quote, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more we'll hate those who speak it. And we find that to be factually correct even today. We need to understand a half-truth is a whole lie. half-truths are being spoken. I don't know if you watched it. It's I spent some time last evening by watching C-SPAN, where the House Investigatory Committee, with its socialist, Marxist, communist Democrats alive and well, interrogating, trying to destroy Pam Bondi, our Attorney General, making all kind of accusations. But I was so thankful to see, ladies and gentlemen, some of her responses that opened Pandora's box to other responses that need to be understood fully on the national scale. We're witnessing today the destruction of our foundation. And Psalms 11:3 says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? That's the thing that concerns me. That's the interest that I have in seeing what is taking place. But ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, as we go from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, we find in God's Word, and we need to recognize it, embrace it, God created the home, He created government, and He created the church. And listen very carefully. Each of those three areas are spoken of throughout the Scripture, past, present, and future, as to what God has said, God, what God is doing, and what God shall do. And may I say to you, there's no bifurcation, no segmenting of the home, the church, and civil government, as God calls it. We need to be warned, as the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint warned. He said the decline of America is linked to the death of truth. We have failed to grasp and to maintain truth. In fact, some 55% of the millennials, 18 to 35-year-old age group, say there's no such thing as absolute truth. They go on to say, they, the millennials, that each person determines their own version of truth. There's not but one version of truth. This is the reason I always digress and go right straight to make a beeline to the statement by Jan Hus, the 15th century theologian and church reformer. Jan Hus said this, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. I believe that is the challenge for modern Americans today. If any statement can be made, should be that we understand and grasp that we're to love truth, learn it, live it, love it, stand for it, defend it, even to death. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, how do I locate that? It's located at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. And ladies and gentlemen, on the campus of Tool for Time, there's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows Old Glory, the U.S. flag. Find that flag in the flagpole, the base of the flagpole. You'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Just a few more moments in a monologue. We're going to introduce our special guest for today. One that you've heard before, one that we've had the joy and the blessing of being able to communicate with about special issues that are taking place in our nation. In just a moment, we'll get to our guest, but I want us to think for a moment in the introduction of this broadcast today. I believe that we need to take very seriously the disappearance of Nancy Guthrie. By the way, just as a little footnote from my personal vantage point, I don't believe I have ever in my lifetime witnessed the thousands of hours of airtime cumulatively with all of the news media for one incident, one event, as I have been watching with the Nancy Guthrie disappearance. I don't know the cause of it. We've got the full force of the FBI, the full force of the federal government, the full force of the state, local, and national law enforcement agencies seeking to find Nancy Guthrie. Now, my heart goes out to the family, those that have lost their mother in the kidnap event, wondering, is she alive? Is she dead? Where is she? Who caused this? Why can't they find a trail? My major consternation, if we can find Gaddafi, if we can find Maduro, if we can find these others on a global, national, international level that we found, that we could locate where they were at any moment. We could locate what they were doing, where they were going, who they were talking with. And we can't locate Nancy Guthrie. And we can't determine who abducted her. But listen, there's a deeper issue that I have consternation over. And that is, based on the research that I've done and the news that I've listened to, it's my understanding that probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 300,000 adults and children become missing every year. Now, I think each life is important, especially when we think about the number of those kids that cross the border illegally. And under the Biden administration, I understand at least 300,000 children became missing. And I heard nothing from the Biden administration about the FBI or any other federal or local state agencies or authorities trying to search for them. It's as though they just crossed the border, disappeared into the woodworks, as I call it, on American soil, and there was no concern. I go back to the 14th chapter of Proverbs, the 34th verse. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Righteousness, rightness before God. Exalted, that means to lift up, to honor, to glorify a nation. But sin is a reproach, a dishonor, a shame, an insult to any people. And I find that to be what is so concerning for me. And then in Proverbs 29:2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm thankful that God placed in office Donald J. Trump as our president. I'm thankful that we're seeing a modicum of change. I'm thankful that we have an individual in office that's looking out for and wanting to protect and honor God through protection of our religious liberties and the freedom of speech and protecting Christians in America. But I find a major battle is still raging on the other side of the coin, where the socialist, Marxist, communist, Democrats wanted to tear down and destroy the very fundamental Judeo-Christian values in our nation. I'm concerned with that. And ladies and gentlemen, two or three questions before we introduce our guest today that I want to set the stage, and then we're going to delve into the filth and the garbage that was the halftime show. Who's responsible? Who should be charged? Should there be any penalties? Should there be any fines? Should there be anything that will cause it not to happen again? What about that? What should we believe in relationship to what is taking place with the drawdown of the ICE agents and the federal agents in the state of Minnesota and in Minneapolis area in particular? Tom Holman said this morning they're drawing down, pulling out. Is that a sign of weakness? Is that a sign that we've surrendered and waving the white flag, allowing the ones that are in control and that are the anarchists, the insurrectionists, and those in Minnesota? I'm sure they're applauding what is taking place with that. But ladies and gentlemen, the thing that I want to add to the footnote in relationship to Nancy Guthrie's disappearance, I want us to understand two or three things that's bothersome, troublesome to me. Could it be that there has been a somehow, some way, legitimacy? Is the ransom legitimate? Ladies and gentlemen, is it something that's just a side issue? Is it the one that holds Nancy Guthrie? Are they the ones that are sending out the ransom notes? Is it possible that some family member could have abducted her? And they now know where she's located. I find it ironic, find it interesting, that the FBI has been swarming around Nancy Guthrie's daughter, the other daughter, around her house, looking at everything, taking pictures inside the house, searching the peripheral around the house. I find it interesting that they're holding the cards, as it's called, so close, not saying anything about what they're finding. Is Nancy Guthrie still in good health? What or when will the FBI reveal the very facts that I believe they already know? This is part, ladies and gentlemen, of what the Bible talks about lawlessness in the last days. Matthew chapter 24, verses 10, 11, and 12. Lawlessness. We're witnessing that today on every hand. We're witnessing it in state after state after state. We're witnessing it when we find some governors. One we'll talk about in a moment, Beshear in Kentucky, if I'm not mistaken, that just vetoed a bill. The bill was designed to prevent further butchery, barbaric butchery of healthy body parts. The governor vetoed the bill to prevent it from going into law. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's what I'm concerned about. That's where my interest is. In fact, I'll read one brief article, and then we'll introduce our guest. Headline says, bizarre. TMZ gets third email from somebody who says they know who the kidnapper of Nancy Guthrie is. TMZ founder Harvey Levine on Wednesday said his company has received a third alleged letter in connection with the disappearance of Savannah Guthrie's mother, Nancy Guthrie. This one claiming to know the identity of the kidnapper. Appearing on America's Newsroom, Levine told Bill Hammer, "An hour and a half ago, we got kind of a bizarre letter, an email from somebody who says they know who the kidnapper is and that they have tried reaching, here's my interest, they've tried reaching Savannah's sister, Annie, and Savannah's brother, but to no avail. And they said they want one Bitcoin sent to the Bitcoin address that we have confirmed is active. It's a real Bitcoin address, and as they put it, time is more than relevant. So we have no idea whether this is real or not, but they're making a demand." Levin said they're not saying that they are the kidnappers, but they say that they do know who the kidnapper is, end quote. Right, interesting, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted to have today a guest. We've had a special guest, a friend of mine for less than 100 years that's been our guest on Let's Face the Issues a number of times, Congressman Mike Hill. Congressman Hill is the former representative of District 1 in the state of Florida, House of Representatives. Congressman Hill, thank you so much for taking time out of what I know is a busy schedule to join us on this very, very important Let's Face the Issue broadcast today. Thank you for joining us.
Dr. Youngblood, thank you for having me. It is always an honor for me to join you on your show. And as I was listening to your monologue, two thoughts came to me about this Nancy Guthrie episode. One, you kind of mentioned, you said that each year, thousands and thousands of Americans show up missing. It happens frequently. It's a shame, and it's always a tragedy to the family when that happens. It happens all the time. So two things. One, why is this particular person of such national interest? I know that her daughter, she's a host on I think it's an ABC talk show, so that makes her a public person. But why this intense scrutiny on this particular missing person? That's number one. Number two, let's say that a ransom is paid, no matter the amount. The idea is once it's paid, then we know who you are. You can't get away with this. So I don't think, this is just my own personal opinion, and I'll admit I haven't followed this very closely, because there, as you say, people get abducted all the time, and there's so many others who are, especially children, who are being abducted. It's a tragedy. Once this person is identified who may have caused this, then of course the whole thing goes away. But the issue being is you're not going to get away with it. And I suspect, and I hope it's not true, but I suspect that Nancy Guthrie's mother's probably not with us anymore. She's probably demised.
Mm-hmm. That's one of my thoughts. And Congressman Hill, if I can put a little parenthetical footnote to what you just said, I find it interesting that one that claims they knew who the kidnapper is, and they've tried to communicate with the other Guthrie sister and her husband, and that linked with the fact that just on the news last evening, that the husband, let's see, what is the name, the other daughter's name, her husband, they've not been able to reach him. He's not been seen for over a week. In fact, this article reads, and they said they want the Bitcoin sent, da-da-da-da-da, and they talk about the trying to reach Savannah Guthrie's sister, Annie, and Savannah's brother to no avail. And it's Savannah's sister, Annie, that her husband has not been seen for over a week. Now, you can read into things like this and come up with answers that are not sufficient, answers that are way out there and not correct. But for some reason, I believe that there is a lack of communication from the FBI, and personally I think it's because they know something they do not want to reveal, but there's a reason for them going in with doing the surveillance inside the house. They're taking photographs trying to discover any blood evidence in Annie's house, and then all around it searching. I find there's a missing element, a missing link that the general public is not being told. I find it interesting and concerning on my part that we find, I know with Fox News, Fox has covered 90% of the airtime since this lady was abducted. 90% of their time has been devoted to finding the kidnapper and gaining access to Nancy Guthrie. I'm delighted they're trying to find her. No question about that. It's my prayer that they do find her. It's my prayer that she's still alive. And our hearts should go out for any family that's going through what they're going through. But I think there's a deeper problem when we understand that it was the brother-in-law that took Mom, Nancy, back home after dinner that evening. How long did it take? What's the evidence that we have that she was not abducted at that point? There are a lot of suspicions that I have, but it's our prayer that that comes to a conclusion and that somehow, some way, it concludes well. But Congressman Hill, there's a greater thing that's taking place. By the way, it goes back to my theme, my issue. Remember that God is watching. Move with the disappearance of Nancy Guthrie, this move with what is taking place with the further demoralization and the deprivation that we find in morals and ethics and values in our nation via the halftime show with the NFL, I want to focus on that for a few minutes. What are your thoughts? Should there be some prosecution? Should there be a fine? Did the National Football League, in league with the television networks, did they overstep their bounds? I'm looking at a headline. It says, politicians demand FCC take dramatic action against Bad Bunny for the Super Bowl lyrics. Now, I could read further in it. I've got several articles on that subject. But at Big Smear, first glance, what is your take on that? Who's responsible? Who's guilty? What should be done? What laws have they broken? And that's multiple faceted questions. So you pick up that and grab wherever you want to and start with your position on that.
Well, Dr. Youngblood, the first part is yes, the FCC should fine not only Bad Bunny, but the NFL and also NBC, who broadcast it. There are laws and rules against bad behavior, bad language, inappropriate behavior on public airwaves, including radio and TV, in the internet. The FCC should definitely fine all of them for allowing that audacious, debauched show to go over the airwaves. They're during prime time, children are available to watch that. It should not have been aired at all. The NFL, yep, they're a private company. They can choose who they want for their show, but they don't have the right to air that over the airwaves where it is publicly available. The FCC should fine all of them. NBC, the NFL, and Bad Bunny. It was inappropriate to broadcast over public airways.
Absolutely, and I know that you have read documents and articles in relationship to what was said. I've not listened to the garbage. In fact, I understand that all except one line was spoken in Spanish. And I personally believe that there was an intent in that, that it would fly by the ears of most Americans that do not understand and speak Spanish. In fact, in understanding some of the research that I've done on it, when the audience present standing, they were like statues. They were not moving. They were not applauding. They were not rejoicing over anything on the halftime show. They were simply zombified, I think, in a state of wonderment that that was taking place. And I'm looking at an article. It's by Representative Andy Ogles, O-G-L-E-S, of Tennessee, 5th District in Tennessee. He said this: the Apple Music Super Bowl, the Apple Music Super Bowl halftime show was pure smut, brazenly aired on national television for every American family to witness. Children were forced to endure explicit displays of gay sexual acts, women gyrating provocatingly, and Bad Bunny shamelessly, and it goes on what he's talking about, what he's doing. And if that weren't outrageous enough, the performance lyrics openly glorified sodomy and countless other unspeakable depravities. These flagrant indecent acts are illegal to be displayed on any public airway. That is why I am requesting the energy. Here's my question, because I'm not familiar with this. He says, I'm requesting the Energy and Commerce Committee to launch a formal congressional inquiry into the National Football League and the NBC immediately for their prior knowledge, deliberately approval, and facilitation of this incident in broadcasting. American culture will not be mocked or corrupted without consequences. Now, here's the point that this congressman is making. They had to do the rehearsal. That was on the with the view, the idea, the understanding, and the authorization of NBC and the other networks that aired it. They knew what was going to take place. They knew the connotation. They knew the possible repercussions. But here, this legislator is saying he's going to the Energy and Commerce Committee. Speak to that. Are you familiar with that agency? And why not just go straight to the FCC?
No, I'm not familiar with that, the Energy and Commerce Committee, Dr. Youngblood, and perhaps that is the appropriate step that needs to be taken. Congress, there is a law in place already that the FCC could apply, so I'm not quite sure why you have to go through this committee first, but the FCC should definitely fine them. And you raised such a good point in that. This was practiced many times, that entire show, and they even did a dress rehearsal. Mm-hmm. So they knew exactly what was going to happen and what was being said, and they flaunted it in our faces anyway. There should definitely be fines for that. The reason being, Dr. Youngblood, is to prevent it from happening in the future.
That's right.
Now, if he's going to this Energy and Commerce Committee for that particular purpose, let's make sure this doesn't happen again. Well, great. But otherwise, I think it's just an extra step. You know, it's a way that a congressperson can make noise and get publicity. But the FCC, they have their job to do in this situation also.
Absolutely. I'm concerned about it because we're witnessing the moral declension, the moral, ethical, values declension in America. And my position is, Congressman Hill, from a Christian conservative patriot's viewpoint, if this is left alone, if this is allowed to prevail, just like with the entering into the church by Don Lemon and his thugs, if these things are allowed to prevail, we're witnessing the erosion, irretrievable erosion of the foundation of our nation. This is what concerns me. This is the reason I'm praying that Christians listening will stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen, and no longer be silent about issues like this. Congressman Hill, we're going to take the top of the hour news break. And ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological